Welcome to All Well Stands Back to the Basics radio program. I'm your host, Tim Metzger from Rapid City, South Dakota. You can visit the website at allwillstand.org. You can also email me at tim@allwillstand.org. So today I want to continue our discussion about Jesus, about the Son of God. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, the other day, I am very thankful that I have a 12-year-old son who got saved at the age of 4. But I have a 5-year-old daughter, and she's 5 and a half now. And I've been working with her here and there. And, you know, we try to have a weekly sit-down, one-on-one Bible study. And so it requires some, for her, I have this nice board, whiteboard, and I draw on it and make like a comic type stuff sometimes, or you could say little pictures, and I got my dry erase markers, and I work on it. And trying to explain this, some of these principles that need to be understood. And I don't think she's quite got them all yet. She doesn't quite grasp it. The other day, because this is a matter of eternal life and death. Now, for her right now, she's underneath her parents. So there is, as long as one of us are saved, and I'm certain I am, then, if something were to happen to her right now, she hasn't reached the age of accountability. We can get into a more basic discussion, but we're not going to. It's a back to the basics program. You know, if something were to happen to her, she would go to heaven by the grace of God. However, one day, and it's probably going to be sooner or later, because she's not dumb by no means. You know, she's a very active 5-year-old girl, but she's also working on first grade math already. So she has it in her. But the thing here is it, my standpoint, as what I believe God has led me to do for All Will Stands Ministry, is I spend a lot of time preaching to people about the rapture and tribulation. I did a couple shows here, the last two shows. And, you know, that's nothing compared to what had been played in cities across America, some small, some large. And, and to warn people, to warn them about what? Being left behind, the rapture. It doesn't really matter if you understand a single thing that happens in the tribulation as long as your name's written in the book of life. It makes no difference if you know there's no wind or if you know that, you know, people are beheaded for not taking the mark of the beast, or if you know, it doesn't really matter. I mean, these things are great to know as a believer. The whole Bible is given to Christians for all scripture is breathed by God, and it's for rebuke and exhortation. It's all profitable, all of it. But there are some things that if a young believer has no clue about, as long as they're truly saved, as long as they've repented towards God and by faith believing that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior, the gospel in a nutshell, as it says in Acts 20:21, then it really doesn't matter if they understand the intricate details. But I know the intricate details that can be known, that God has revealed to me through his word. Nothing special, nothing extra revelation, just things that can be known, and most of it cannot be known. What goes on during tribulation and specifics, we can kind of ponder, but we're not going to really know how this is going to happen or how that is going to happen. But the rapture is something that concerns me, you know, about being left behind and hitting the age of accountability. Because it's not a time frame where people would want to be left behind. If you're going to accept the free gift of salvation, if you've heard a little bit, it's time to look into it more. Not time to understand what it is and then not take it. Not accept it, but to walk away and say, well, not right now, it's not for me. Because while God knows the heart, he's the one who draws a line. And it's, you can look at the end book up on allwillstand.org for answers to this. But those people who do that, wherever God draws that line, wherever it might be, I don't know, are going to believe a lie. And I don't care if Moses himself came from heaven down to speak to you and spent days trying to explain to you that you were in the tribulation and you were left behind and this is what was going on. It wouldn't work, because God himself would allow strong delusion to blind you, and there is no hope from you. It's right up there with taking the mark of the beast during the tribulation. The warning's there. Once you take it, there's no undoing it. You are doomed. Doomed. But there's a gift of God. That opening verse, John 3:16. Something I learned probably, I don't know if it was the first Bible verse I learned, but you know, it's something that, at least when I was young, every Sunday school kid knew. But there is a gift of God. So how do we explain this? So my daughter has these little coloring books I managed to find, and they have Bible verses in them. And they're made by the, I believe it's a Trinitarian Bible Society. It's out of the United Kingdom. And most of them are hard to find. They don't seem to make them no more. But you can contact them directly, and they'll get you what they have. And they have some great, great material for children. I mean, it's great. It does look a little bit old-fashioned. But the Bible, you know, it's not old-fashioned. So it's biblical stuff. So, you know, modern-day tastes, which my kids wouldn't know the difference much. But thing is let's take a look here at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. And let's talk about this gift today. For by grace you are saved through faith, and in that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, that no one should boast. Gift of God. Okay. So how do I go about explaining this to a five-year-old? That was a question. And so I have this covering book. It has one verse. It has a little bit of a top part that just has a gift of God, and then the bottom part that has a whole verse, because, you know, kids can at least remember the top part, and then you have the bottom part that maybe they can remember the whole verse. Okay. But here you have a five-year-old who's giving me her whole attention. What exactly is a gift of God? So I set up a drawing. This is a three-box drawing. I got two small boxes and one huge box on the bottom. And the first box is one of her friends sitting at a table across from her, and there's a gift on there. You got the inside of the house, there's a window in the picture, you're on a tree outside. But on the table, these are stick people. I've mastered them, but they're stick people. And there's this gift on the table. And in the next one, the box is open. The gift is open. And there's a doll on the table. And so, you know, there's that gift. But as I'm drawing this stuff, she's always asking, well, what is that you're drawing? You know, because I'm not going to tell her ahead of time what I'm drawing. She's watching me draw this entire thing. It takes me a few minutes. And on the bottom, I have a hill. And on top of it, I have a cross. No, I don't have a stick figure hanging on the cross. I have that same gift that was on the table drawn next to the cross. It's just sitting there. It's not open. It's just sitting there on the ground because it's not accepted. A doll was accepted. You got this picture of a little stick figure girl. She's happy. She's happy. Because here's the stick figure friend handing her the doll. She's a happy girl. But the other one, it's sitting next to the cross. It's not accepted by her yet. She hasn't accepted this gift of God. It's a gift that God has given you, too. We just went over it. It's a gift of God. For by grace you are saved through faith. By grace you are saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It's a gift to you. It's a gift to my daughter. It was a gift to me. I opened it. I took it when I was 9 years old. But outside of that hill. So you have this hill of a cross, and there's, you know, got some grass, and you got a sky, and really the sky is just some blue squiggly lines. That's, you know, don't want to run out all the ink. And got a sun shining, because the sun was shining. We could get into the details of what happened, and we will be here shortly. But you got the sun shining. And then you have the stick figure man. That's a smiley face. But he's surrounded by four people. And they have what looks like triangles on top of sticks and little circles they're carrying. So, of course, the question is, well, what is that? Oh, well, those are four soldiers. And they got spears. They had spears. And they have shields. And they got this smiley man. And they're out just at the bottom of this hill where there's a cross on top. So what is that? Well, that, my friends, is the gift of God. That is the gift of God. Now, explaining that to a 5-year-old is no different explaining it to a 55-year-old who has not heard the gospel. As John 3:16 says, once again, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Well, let's go into that a little bit more, that gift. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ooh. Now, we didn't get into eternal life. We've talked about it before. If I were to sit down and ponder eternal life and really think about this infinite, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, it's something that I can pretend I grasp, but if I really want to grasp the deepness of it, I cannot grasp it. Just like infinity. It's not able to be grasped. It is beyond the capability of the human mind to fully comprehend such things. We can understand what it is. We can know what it is. But to actually consider a trillion years from now, sure, we can. But a trillion times a trillion, when you consider I'm 46, and that is, I don't know, and then times a trillion, and then times that by a trillion, oh, and here's the problem with trying to grasp that, eternity. Times that by a trillion, and 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 you have so many zeros. I don't even know how many zeros you have. We're definitely past a Googleplex there. And you just keep on times it by a trillion times a trillion times a trillion times a trillion. But you never stop. Oh, now that's something scary. So when we take a look at this gift of God, well, one of the things we just went over is eternal life. Now, if you happen to listen to the two shows about hell, or at least one of them, if you caught one of them, if you haven't, you might want to go and listen to one of them. At allwillstand.org, just click on podcast, you'll find him. That's eternal too. Well, the thing is that's for the people who didn't take the gift, whose names were not written in the book of life, as the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. So, here we have eternity, eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Those are for those who are saved. And you have that, and eternity. So, people who are listening to this show, you might be 28 years old, you might be 8 years old, you might be 88. I saw a guy in Madagascar watching one of these little clips that I'd like to talk about, these little shows, and he hasn't had any new ones in a while, where the guy goes to different remote places that, you know, are known to be dangerous in non-tourist destinations. And he pops in there. And he finds people there. He'll find somebody in there prior to show him around. A local who he'll befriend. And will take him to different parts of town. some parts it can be dangerous. And anyway, there was this man. Oh, he was, I think he made furniture. He made chairs. Had a little house. It was full of chairs. And anyway, the guy was in his 90s, and he talked about God and focusing on God. And he was still doing his work and making chairs somewhere in Madagascar. That's old. Maybe at that age, listening to the show. Most people don't obtain that age. One of the things that I had to mention to my daughter was, well, you understand that people die, right? Because, I mean, you must understand this, you know. Hebrews 9:27 makes it quite clear that we're all appointed to death once. But after this, let's take a look at that, because this is the gift of God that it's probably worthwhile to take another look at this verse here for this show. As it is appointed for men to die once, and after this, a judgment. So Christ, that was our gift, was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time without sin unto salvation. You know, I'm going to go ahead and I'm just going to pop back into the Old Testament here once again. Take a look at Daniel 12:2. I like this verse because it tells a lot. And many of those sleeping in the earth's dust shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to reproach and everlasting abhorrence. So, Romans 3:23 tells us quite clearly, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Going back to Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So here we are discussing this gift again. Now, so I'm trying to explain to my daughter, you know, people die. You know, one day you're going to die. It's a hard conversation. And she's like, I know great-grandma died. Yep, great-grandma died. She got to meet her great-grandma in a nursing home when she was, 2 years old. Almost three. She still remembers it. She got to meet a great-grandma. And yes, that was the only time that she got to meet a great-grandma. And we were fortunate because of the COVID nonsense. I mean, face mask. It was a terrible experience, but a great experience for a great-grandma to get to meet her great-granddaughter. Great experience. So she knows. So I said, well, when somebody dies, their bodies, they go into a cemetery, and there's usually a stone, and I kind of use my finger, and it kind of looks like this, and goes over it, and that's usually what happens, and that's in Western culture, and I understand, I'm speaking to people who, some people, you know, there's a lot of societies that do things a little bit differently. They cremate, but, you know, either way, they go into some sort of grave or some sort of container, they're gone. In Western society, there are people who cremate as well. But most people, at this point, it seems to be changing, but at this point, go into a cemetery. Do you know? Have you seen those? No, I haven't. Don't know what those are. Well, it's definitely not the, you know, it's not the most joyous place to go and visit, right? We've all had to go and visit or been involved with some sort of ceremony of somebody who has passed away, whom we loved. And there's a lot of beliefs here. And I'm not trying to take people who live in Africa and you know, stir up emotions. I'm trying to tell you the truth. I'm trying to do, once again, what that rich man that I spoke about a few weeks ago couldn't do. I'm telling you what he wanted to tell his family and what your family would want to tell you. Please, don't join us. If it were without Christ and not written the book of life, please, we were wrong. Please, accept the free gift. We were created in the image of God. We were to serve God as a gift. And that gift waits there for you to open. And it can be hard, and the devil can come along and he can take our minds and he can say, no. It's too horrible. If we believe that, and I speak to Africans here, it's going to mess with our thoughts of our the way we do burials. It's going to mess with the way that we think about the people who have passed away, that we thought and we said all these things and did all these things for their benefit. So we thought. And we'll realize that they didn't have that gift. So if I believe, what does that say about them? My loved ones. Friend, God doesn't want that for you. And neither would those who pass on to the other side want that for you. This is why God speaks about there in the end, every tear is wiped away. These things will never come to memory again. In this lifetime, they will. I have loved ones. It's a terrible thought. I mean, I can say even so, amen, I understand that. But if I contemplate it, it is sad. It is a sad thing. Because even in this country where we might not do some of those things, we have a preacher who oftentimes presides over a graveyard ceremony, over a funeral ceremony at the gravesite in our preacher's sermon. But don't you be like one. There was one. A loved one. And I walked up to the pastor. And I said, Pastor. He was this loved one's pastor. I said, I don't want you preaching at this gravesite and talking about how this man went to heaven. I said, sir, not everyone goes to heaven. He looked shocked. He looked at me and he said, wow, you're after my own heart. I said, no, sir. I'm trying to be a man after God's own heart. So when he had that sermon and he preached, it wasn't nothing fantastic, but it also wasn't nothing deceiving, because we have graveyards full in America of people who believed this gift existed. But they didn't really accept it in their hearts. Because you have to accept it in your hearts. It's not just believing. The Bible clearly says even the demons believe and tremble. It's not just believing. No. It is something that has to actually be accepted. So let's take a look at that. Let's take a look at Romans 8. Let me pull this up here. Romans 8, verses 10. There we go. 8 for 10. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. See, I'm going to stop right there. With the heart. There's a Baptist pastor. I know here, a Southern Baptist pastor. And he always says, I've met him several times, he always says, well, they believed in their head, but it's not a heart confession. And there's truth to that. For with the heart one believes in the righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I'll add in verse 11 and 12 and 13. For the scripture says, everyone believing on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich towards all who call upon him. How about modern day terms? There is no distinction between African, Indian, Westerner. It doesn't matter. All people were created in the image of God. it makes no difference. Your race, your skin color, your culture, no difference. Everyone, okay, let me continue on here. Verse 13, for everyone, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You need to understand that you need this gift. Without this gift, you are heading. Your name's not written in the book of life. You are heading to the lake of fire. You are going to be in hell forever. Because if you go back and if you happen to hear that show about hell, one of those, the second show, talked about books that were open. Revelation 20, verse 12. These books were open in every single thing that you ever did was recorded in those books. Now, what is that gift of God? So, 1 Peter 2:24, speaking of Jesus, says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Ah, that's what that picture I drew for my daughter is. That hill, that cross, that gift, unopened. For those who haven't opened it, which is most of humanity, it's sitting there. Sitting there for you, too. Oh, this is the most valuable gift, friend. It is the most valuable gift that you will ever receive if you choose to receive it. You know, one time I got duped when I was younger. There was this store, and it got rectified via the credit card company, but there was a store going out of business, a big box store, and they had these pair of I looked at the jewelry. Oh, I hadn't gotten my wife anything in quite a while, and I think it was an anniversary gift. And they had these ruby earrings, right? $10,000. But they were something like 30% off. And the store was closing, liquidating, bankrupt. I went back. How much are they now? Oh, they're 40% off now. I went back. How much are they now? 50. Then going back, 60. Nobody bought them yet. 70. I ended up getting them for, under two, I believe. Under 2,000. Huge purchase. Come to find out, they weren't worth that much. I actually fixed it for the credit card company. When I actually got the certificate of authenticity, the actual manufacturer said they were worth $800. So, 70% off of that. They, I actually got it worked out. But, it should have paid about $200 or $300. They had ballooned the price. But you see, friend, this gift is unlike that. That's the most expensive gift I have ever purchased in my life. This gift isn't like this. This gift is priceless. Priceless. It is remarkable. Because it allows what is due to us, what Christ paid for us, the gift of God, that if we take and accept that gift, our sins are forgiven, and we, instead of getting what we deserve, which is eternal punishment, through Christ, anyone who believes on him receives this gift of eternal life. We become servants of Christ. We no longer do those things or wish to do those things that we had did. We do a 180 and we serve Christ, as was the original intent when God created us originally. He created us to serve him, to have fellowship with him. And that gift of God restores that. In these bodies, it won't be perfect, but the time is coming during that eternity where we'll be given a new body. And we won't have the ability to sin, and it will be as it should be. Well, if you have questions about salvation, please visit the website at www.allwillstand.org. Until next week, have a great week.